You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Like that's what she said. Three hot dogs for a dollar.
I ate the live.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So nobody heard the start of that joke. Okay.
That's fine. It's a Ryan Hall joke. Anyways, hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Low Key on the Wheel of Potatoes Network. My name is Harry, aka The Moving Target. And yes, we took off last Monday. It's a holiday, and I take holidays off. And none of those we expect to be to work that day. Psh, come on. I talked about the
this previous. Isn't work. This is fun.
Yeah, last Monday was Jonathan Majors Day, you know.
You know what? Yellow car. You gotta this is yellow car.
I'll take it.
Yellow card. And yes, and a person who just got the yellow card, that laugh, the famous laugh of it. Because every time I talk about the podcast, I meet you guys in person, you guys come up and say hi to me, everyone goes like, is that Vincent's real life? And I just go, yes, that's his real life. Yes, go ahead, say hi, Vincent.
Hello, everyone. I'm here. If we do next Monday, then that would be the end of my vacation. But this is day like 4 of vacation or something like that. So
I should have made you do like a longer stream.
I mean, I could have, but
I should have made you work for that. I should have just
getting into research. His Power World time.
Well, I stopped that about a couple hours ago. I'm watching anime right now.
No, he's not. He's still playing.
I have 3 episodes.
You can't multitask. You can watch anime still. And play.
I have 3 episodes, so once this is done, I can finish that series up.
Yeah, the other voice you're hearing is Reinhold. Reinhold, go ahead and say hi. His beard's looking really good this winter.
Yeah, so yeah, thanks for bumping me down to the 3rd on the list. That's good. I appreciate it.
Sorry, I couldn't. Vincent asked for a 25% raise, and I said, how about I bump you up in front of Reinhold?
That'll do it.
He took that and I gotta pocket him a couple of times. He gets one. Anyways, he's got a little coupon thing. But anyways, go ahead, Randall.
Oh no, I'm just glad to be here. I just been having fun with computers this weekend, playing with my new network attached storage that now Harry's telling me doesn't work the way I want it to.
Sorry, bro. I've got like 3 of them. Played with them for years. They don't work.
You
like
get
that.
4 bays. Oh, you have 5 bay.
Yeah. I'm big. I got the dual. It's got like 3 different USB ports on it. So the 2 in the rear to connect to daisy change them together, and then the front one's got the clone button. So you can put a USB stick or something up to it and hit the clone button and instantly clone. So you can daisy chain, I love playing. So like the QNAP NAS that you have, right? You can also, they also work as USB anywheres too. So the USB ports, you can actually connect to the NAS and use the little USB punches on the back anywhere in the network. It's pretty neat. Yeah, like I said, I've been playing with them for a bit. I enjoy them. We're not streaming on Facebook tonight because dear leader forgot to reconnect his Facebook connection. So we are not on there. And I'm not letting you Yahoo stream on my profile getting me banned.
We would already been banned with that one joke.
I know, right? Yeah, canceled. Boo, tomato, tomato, tomato. But no, this is I could do a whole, the topics that we had, screw that. Let's just talk about network attached storage and backup policy. How's that sound?
Cool. I'm gonna go ahead and pull up this.
I've got snapshotting turned on, automatic snapshotting,
and I'll be present while watching this anime.
And you make sure there's snapshots, not screenshots, right? To make sure. Yes. You know. Okay. All right.
I've got like 4 terabytes saved aside just for snapshots.
Nice. Do you have the SSD caching on your QNAP setup too?
I have it available. I have not done it though.
Okay. Right. I recommend setting that.
Because I have to put like a solid state inside one of the bays, right? Is that what you were saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That
defeats what I was trying to do.
Also, but if you have the spare PCI Express ports and you don't want to do that 10 gigabit, you can actually put your NVMe, you can put a PCI Express NVMe drive in there and then use that for your caching too.
I don't know. I think the 10 gig would probably be better.
Yeah, it's just more of what you want, you know? And then as we're getting the 10 gigabit storage, like you should like look at all the SANs that are available that are for really cheap. Now you may say to yourself, do I really want to use SAN? Yeah. Use SANs are awesome. Not for your power bill, but just for playing with. Anyways, no. Okay. Before you run everyone away talking about storage and backups, I will remind everyone about 3-2-1 backup. Yeah. 3 different locations. What is it? 3 different mediums, 2 different locations, 1 of them offsite. So. It's not doing that. It's not backed up. And no, saving to the cloud is not just not backup. And yes, you have to worry about data corruption in Google Drive, in OneDrive, S3 buckets. All those things still have data corruption issues. If you don't think they don't. Oh. Oh, man. You ain't paying attention. Yeah. Go ahead. Do a quick just search on the net for G Drive lost my file. And people talk about how they just miss. Reinhold's over here. He's got like that PTSD face of people going like, yeah, he's probably had to go find these files.
I've heard a few stories. I've had to deal with a company called OnTrack from time to time. Mm-hmm. So if you know who OnTrack is, they're the ones that saved my bacon many, many years ago. Probably 24 years ago, 23 years ago, something like that. Because we were putting together a new ERP system to replace for Y2K, to replace the mainframe. We couldn't do the Y2K thing. Mm-hmm. And we had developed all this big database, and they were developing and developing and developing on it. And we were backing it up, but it wasn't quiesced properly, so we didn't have it all done right. It was all not production. It was all just development, right? So nobody cared mm-hmm. much. Until the RAID 5 took a dump on 2 of the drives at the same time, at which case we were out of luck because we didn't have a good backup.
Yep. So not testing backups, playing with fire. Veeam.
Sorry, my dogs have decided.
You're fine. Veeam software is also good too. I recommend getting some Veeam. You know, Veeam's amazing. Play with it. It's awesome. But anyways, but that's not what we came here to talk about. Before we lose everybody that turned into this show, like, what are these losers talking about? That is not the topic at hand that we want to talk about. One of the subject is we're going to talk about is one thing that Vincent wanted to bring up, last week, but I said holiday, we ain't working today. That's and fair. The other thing is just kind of like spawned up because like one got into me and the other one was like, ha ha, this company who was an a-hole for years continues to be a-hole. And before I bury late too much, so the topic last week that Vincent was very passionate about was the Capcom DRM mod issue. So we're going to jump into that.
Okay.
And then this little known indie game that hardly anyone is playing now, we've got to put a spotlight on. It's called Pal World. I don't know if anyone's heard of this.
There's no streamers at all playing this right now. None.
Yeah. It's not like it's almost rivaling Just Chatting on Twitch, which not many games could like say they could do that in their first week.
And it's an early access.
Right. Early access.
With the new rules for Just Chatting.
Yeah, and not backed by a huge studio that is paying streamers to play this game. They're legitimately playing it. And Ubisoft being a terrible game. Like I started going through my wish list and started just taking Ubisoft games off my wish list. But we'll get to that. So as we get to the topics and get to the things, I will say like it's pretty neat, like because Facebook did give me a couple of like Facebook memory stuff, especially when we did like the first few episodes of this podcast. And I remembered that this podcast only existed because of the simple fact that I needed something to do when the big show was down. And it was weird, like I went down we've done this one so much I needed to take a break. You know, which, you know, Big Show comes back February 3rd. You know, the fun show with Reinhold and I and Dear Leader. That one's we were tentative date doing February the 3rd. The other Chris Bangle boringsness, that those episodes continue to coming out. But if you want that fun stuff with Reinhold and I, it'd be February the 3rd. So look out for that. But anyways.
So I just did a look on Twitch for streaming Pal World. And I'm still scrolling down the list of all the different channels that are streaming Pal World.
It's a fun game. We'll get into that.
I'm talking like 200 so far. And it's still going.
Small indie game.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of titles in Japanese and Korean. And we're still going. Still going. There's 48 viewers, 42 viewers, 41. It's like,
I know.
Yeah, now we're up to 300 streams.
I know. I should probably like stop the show and just start streaming Pal World.
Why? You would just get sucked up into the whole mess. Who's going to find you in this?
I'm sure someone will.
Yeah.
I'm at 400 already.
That's fine. Yeah. I could turn it
finally stopped. It finally stopped almost 400.
Yeah, I could turn to my female V2 model. We'll be good to go.
And the lowest, here's the thing that I'm surprised about. The lowest viewered stream right now is 24 viewers. I don't see any like 1 and 0 viewers, which is really weird.
All right.
So I don't think they're showing me all of the streams.
Since
I think he just stopped it after a while.
Since he's invested, we'll go into Power World first since he's invested. He's looking at it. That's all he's been doing is looking at what's going on. So do you have any idea what Power World is, Reinhold, at all?
I assume it's some sort of game. And that would be all I know.
Okay. So the big joke for a lot of it was people saw it as Pokemon with guns. Because it has cute monsters that you shoot in the face with handguns and assault rifles and rocket launchers. But when you start playing it, it's more like playing like Satisfactory or like Ark or Rust.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But all the creatures and monsters are cute pixelated creatures. Cute cartoony creatures. Mm-hmm. And then there's just other humans you can find and kill as well.
Right.
But it is, what did we say?
I have noticed something on these streams. There's a surprisingly large number of them that are just doing VTuber stuff, like Icon, there's anime.
Yes.
Avatars. That's what I was going to say. There's a lot of those.
Yeah, like the game, I got it on Friday. I put 25 hours into it since Friday. and it is incredibly fun. It scratches that itch of doing the open world kind of thing, mm-hmm. with also the base building, with also the people who played like the newer line Pokemon games of like Pokemon Legends Arceus and Scarlet and Violet, which was like, here's open world and you can catch all the Pokemon on the map. But this way it's much more entertaining because you can just walk up to it with a baseball bat and hit it in the face and then throw your Pokeball at it.
Yeah.
Your pal sphere. My bad. Sorry.
Yeah.
Legally distinct.
Yeah. Because that, yeah, I remember you guys were talking about this thing. And to me, yeah, it was just Pokemon with guns. It to me looked like a meme game that would never come out. This is something that, like, there's no way those will get released because it just, everything just seemed too grand. Everything they kept promising was like, there's no way they could build the functionality of that is just like, it's not there, you know?
There's another No Man's Sky, you thought, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Or Starfield, you know?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Starfield. Yeah.
Now, granted, I was on the Starfield cope. I wanted to believe. But. I almost bought it.
Yeah, like I
want 76.
Yeah, I played for 25 hours, and like there's still so much of the map that's dark that I have not even looked at or interacted with because it's this massive map that there are fast travel points and stuff,
right?
But there's a lot more depth to it than just catch all these things and hunt things out. So correct. There's base building aspects of it.
Right, so is it a multiplayer type game or is it a single player?
I've been playing it single player, but it's open for co-op. They don't have PvP right now. They're going to PvP later, but as of right now, it's
like. But I'm trying to think more like, okay, we got Baldur's Gate 3, and there's kind of like an average time of play for a storyline. You know, to go through the story, it takes so many hours. And Baldur's Gate 3 was like the recent example of it done right with a lot of content, etc. Right. Does it compare like to that, or is it a whole different type of game?
It's a different kind of game. Think of more like Rust or Ark.
7 days to die.
Okay.
7 days to die, but instead of the zombos attacking, the zombos attacking you, you've got balls to grab the zombos and they can fight for you or help build your base.
Yeah, that was the other big selling aspect of it is all of the creatures you collect have certain tasks that they can do. Mm-hmm. That you now put them to work on your base to get things done.
Right.
Now, 7 Days to Die has mods overhaul mods that'll do stuff like that. But that's
correct. But this game
has also only been out for 5 days.
No. I wonder, are they going to allow that type of modding community?
Yes, they are open. Open server. So if you want to do your own server, that's there. It's available at launch. As of right now,
at launch,
and they openly stated that they're all for mod support and they support mod support.
Yep. All right, because you got to think about this. 7 Days That I came out 10 years ago, right? Last month, they had their 10-year anniversary. It's still an alpha, I know, but it's vast. I mean, it's a game right now, and there's so much mod support in that game that you can basically play 20 different games. From that, all the different overhaul mods that they do, it changes everything. There's one that's a Wild West, there's one that's based off of Fallout. There's one that's, there's whole kinds of stuff like that. And, Minecraft has succeeded for so many years because of modding. So you got to wonder how many of these people are going to support. That's how you make a game last long.
Exactly.
Allow them to progress the game on their own. You know, people to build on it.
Correct.
What you've built.
Correct.
And having that element of it's another resource to manage when you have all the monsters you collect, the pals, they're called pals.
Yeah, pals.
But like each of them have certain things that they can do. So some of them can cook. Some of them are the only ones that use to like smelt ore or cook food. So you have to have a fire pal out there to actually do that, or you have to do it yourself. There are ones that plant crops, but they can't water the crops. You need mons that water crops to do that.
But like a 3D first person version of Overworld or Rimworld. I'm sorry. Rimworld.
Yeah, but it's third person over the shoulder.
It's not first person. Okay. It's third person over the shoulder, but still three dimensional version of Rimworld where you have all these different you know, the people have different skills. You train them into doing the things and you let them just kind of go and do stuff.
And there's so much stuff on the map. Like, the map is wide open. They purposely give you a lot of options to just do whatever you want. Starting out, it's like, all right, figure it out.
Yep. But the tutorial is very interesting for someone who, me personally, I played 30 minutes of it single player, and I didn't think this would scratch up much of an inch. I thought, like, okay, I'm going to go play this thing for like 5-10 minutes, just try this thing out. Next thing I knew, yeah, it was 30 minutes into the game. Like, oh crap, I got to start work soon. If I don't get off this game, I'm just going to like, because the progression tree was very simple. The building structure, yeah. I enjoyed the button setup was also great on it from just getting into it. But it's like I said, it scratched the itch for me that I always said was something was missing from Satisfactory, because Satisfactory, I'm just building this factory. Yes, there are things in the world, but like, don't threaten me in this game. Like, this threatens me. The environment threatened me. The idea that I was walking around at night and going like, I'm freezing if I don't keep this torch out.
When you called in to work sick that day, what did they say?
I went into work.
Is that went into work, sir? I'm gonna play that after we get off stream, sir. But they do a lot of very interesting things. Of like, each of the monsters have the special abilities attached to them, and some of them you can basically ride or use in other manners based on which ones they are. So like, there's a little penguin guy that you could put into a rocket launcher and shoot at people.
A question.
Yep.
Okay. That I'm curious about. You talked a little bit about Satisfactory. We talked about Seven Days to Die. And a little bit about RimWorld. Two of those games does something that the third doesn't, which irritates me.
Okay.
Is the map static in Pal World?
Oh, if the maps are same in everyone's game?
The overworld is static, but the world is so massive that it really doesn't matter, and the starting points are all spread across the map. I literally started in the bottom corner, and I've nowhere near any of the other spawn points on the map.
Right, but I'm saying at some point you're going to know that map by the back of your hand, and do you want, like, 7 Days to Die has their default map called Nava's Game, where people know where everything is. They know which POI has this, which POI is there, and everything else. But then you can have them generate new maps, and it'll on the fly do that. The same with RimWorld. You generate new maps every time, so you have a different experience every single time you decide to play a game. I didn't know if it's something they're planning on doing, because Satisfactory said they're not planning on doing it, which is like, sorry. That really irritates me, because I don't want to just go in and know where to set up the greatest spot ever, because it's the same map all the time and I know right where to do it. It gets kind of boring. You know, I want to try and figure it out. I want to try and try this place and go, oh no, I found this other great place that we hadn't seen before. Let's go build there and get all these resources that weren't, you know,
which is completely understandable, but definitely you can tell that this is, I'm surprised it even came out at all. And with the size of the map, like, even though it is a static map at this point, there is so much of this map, I have no idea what it looks like, because all the starting points have massive voids of black around it. There's some starting points you can start at that I've such a mass wide range of blackness that I don't even know what's there.
Yeah. And eventually it's difficult.
Yeah, terrain, like, exploring is difficult, and but also when you build a base, there are points where you get raided, so things will just show up, you have to fight them off like you would anything else.
I think it's a good that they have a large map, that way they can take the time to kind of put something together to handle this situation when people start knowing it, if that's part of their roadmap. I just didn't know if we knew that was part of their roadmap or not to do.
No, we don't.
Really do that. We don't know that yet. They do have, there are, the other interesting thing that makes it more complicated is that there are basically areas where monsters can spawn, but they don't always spawn there. So there's been a point where I've been to an area where I saw a pal there once, but I haven't seen it again in that area at all. So there's enough of that random chance of finding the things you need or that you want that also plays a massive factor into it. But I can definitely see it being a game that as of right now, it has legs. It's not a solved game. There's no set path to do anything. And because of where things are in the game is very difficult to just go, cool, I'm just going to grab this guy and this guy and this guy, and that's all that matters. Because you also have to manage their sanity, because if they're working too hard, then they will stop working at all, or they'll just die. And you have to put them in the box to let them recharge. Or they can die of hunger because you haven't fed them. Mm-hmm. So you have to be on top of, okay, well, I need to make food and do this and do this. Mm-hmm. And where I am right now, I got to the assembly line where you can make your your mons, your pals, make stuff on the assembly line. Well, you need electricity for, so you need electric pals to power your generators, and then you need ones that have hands to make the things on the line. So there's up. It's very in depth. There's a lot of stuff going on, mm-hmm. and I feel like it's going to be a game that people are going to enjoy for quite a while. And based on how things are going, I can see it having that community of people, like the people who play Ark all the time or Rust all the time, right, where somebody will set up a server and go, hey, we're playing in this server. Everybody jump in. Let's play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It's got my attention. Like, of course, like, since it's popular, the Retractors, the Game Journals and Unison has come mm-hmm. out to write crappy articles about it. Hey, that cool game your kid wants? Oh, talks about animal cruelty. Look at this awful game. And I'm just like, oh my God.
What did Screen Rant say about it? Well, I've been on Screen Rant kick lately, so.
Who knows? Yeah. We definitely saw, there's definitely an article, the headline was like, this game would be cool if it wasn't for the animal cruelty. But it's monsters you have to lower their health for to catch. So the only difference from this and Pokemon is that you're doing it yourself with your gun mm-hmm. or your bow or whatever.
Right. But like, if that's the same thing, there's tons of other MMOs that if you're the animal handler.
Yeah.
You know,
was it World? I'm trying to think of it. There's a game I remember playing where you had to knock the animals down to like certain without killing them. You had to do it without killing them.
Yeah.
In order to capture him. I was trying to remember what game that was. I think World of Warcraft if you're a Ranger, but I never really played Ranger much. So
yeah.
I'm trying to think of what game that was. It's just escaped me at this point.
I don't know what's worse. Taking disc, unlocking monsters out of this disc, and they were enslaved in this disc. Now I get them out of the disc. Now I enslaved them for me. So I've taken them from one crappy holding cell to the crappy holding cell of me controlling them for the rest of their life. That's Monster Rancher.
That was such a ridiculous concept where you got different monsters based on which CD you put in. That
which was so cool. Fun. Which was fun. It was the checksum. So cool. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Because just putting in CDs to figure out what does what, you know. I think my Korn Issues album gave me like this awesome monolith monster would just crush things and
But I'll put it this way, Reinhold, there's a lot of elements to it of a perfect example. I'm at a level where I can make a second base, so I spent like an hour preparing the second base. I built the foundation, built these walls, and then this firebird shows up, shoots one fireball at it, and next thing I know, the entire thing is burning down to the ground. And I didn't have enough water monsters to put all the fire out. So I just lost I literally lost an entire hour to 2 hours of work because it just caught fire, gone. It's like, cool, I'm not using that base ever again.
Yeah, at least your pals don't die, right?
Right. They can become incapacitated. You just gotta put them in the box.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, there's probably someone is out there working on a hardcore mod.
Oh, absolutely. You know they are. But I mean, there's a lot. They do a lot of stuff. Like, one of the things that you can do is you can make a butcher's knife, and you can, if you catch a bunch of excess ones, you can carve them up and use them for their parts.
Get balance the balance.
Yeah,
Can you splice and dice DNA? And
there is a breeding. There is a breeding thing where you can breed base different ones to make more powerful things. And also there is an area where you can put ones that you don't want and condense them down to power up one even stronger.
So that boss you kept.
It kind of reminds
you breed your boss. That boss that you cut.
Mm-hmm. I found more wrong about it.
That was the thing about RimWorld I liked is the experimentation that you could do on the rim, the guys that you can splice DNA and you can give them bionic arms and stuff and just kind of hack at them. Prisoners, you would use them for organ donation.
Yeah, it's I've been enjoying my experience with it. There's a lot of extra things going on of finding where all the resources are, what's the best way to bring them from point A to point B. Because they have, you know, certain weight limits of things you can carry, and things have logical weight to them.
Oh yeah, the weight limit hit me. Oh quick. God, that was mighty.
But once you have a pocket full of rocks and you can't move, because you have 40 rocks in your pocket, and they weigh like 40 pounds, and you can't move. Which makes sense. Logically right. Makes sense.
It does make sense, but I wasn't ready for it.
No.
I'm just used to I'm mining. What's this bar going up?
Yeah, what does this mean? And he's like, you are now over encumbered. Figure it out. And the worst part about it is that up to a certain point, you can still like slowly walk. But once you hit a certain number, you can't move.
You're stuck.
Yeah. At all. You can't move at all. That led to a couple of chain deaths where I had something in my pocket and I couldn't get out fast enough. And then I died and went to go pick it up. Those people were still there. So I had to like hurry up and get it again and try to drop the things I needed to drop.
Try to get out fast. That's neat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey. But all in all, it's a fun game. Check it out. Yeah. Watch some streams of it.
Yeah. It's $30. Mm-hmm. I've spent 25 hours for $30 already. So that for me makes a perfect investment sense.
Is it on the Humble Bundle?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the thing everybody was complaining about 7 Days That I, and it's just like, it's been out 10 years. I've got thousands of hours in it. I spent like $25 on the game. Shut up.
Hey, at least they admit that it's still an alpha, unlike Paladins.
Yeah, they're promising release soon, and they're going to release it on the console again because they had a release version on the console, but they hadn't been updated. I guess they're updating it now because they're getting close to going gold, but they keep thinking of new things to add. So they're like, now we got to, it was supposed to be Alpha 20 was supposed to be the last one. Then 21 came out. Now they're talking about Alpha 22. It's like, I thought we were going gold in 20, man. What the heck? But what I find that we have so many quality of life add-ons that people have made that really should be in the game. And I'm just wanting, you know, you start to see them putting some of the stuff in the game that was somebody's modded for before. So we'll see how that goes, but that's the good thing about having a game that's constantly being, because I don't know, the 7 Days That I is not just one type of game. It's like trying to be every type of game, which most games can't pull off, but somehow they do. So, very impressive in my opinion.
Yeah. Tower is fun.
I stopped playing 7 Days to Die because I played this one time with Reinhold. It was like the worst experience in 7 Days to Die of my life. We got hit by every natural disaster.
So the game's not like that anymore. It's not that extreme. It actually has a ramp up for you. So you can be in the certain biomes and you can ramp up to the harder biomes. You don't have to just start in the winter biome when you're just starting out, that sort of thing.
Yeah, like you got nothing. Here you go.
And here's a bunch of
hordes.
They horde. Yeah, they ramp up the encounters better so that you don't get just destroyed day one with I think they've really nailed it down on that one a lot.
It's good.
Yeah. Since that experience.
But no, Palworld gets the low key what is that? Seal approval? Seal approval. Do we have a seal? Do we have a scoring system?
go play that game, please.
Yeah.
it's a nice game.
Mm-hmm. Help out the small indie devs. They'll need money in their coffers once Nintendo finally finds something to sue them on.
When Nintendo
is it an indie game?
Yeah.
I guess I didn't ask that question. It's not a big indie game.
It's a small company that's made a couple games before, but as of right now, this is their one big game that they're releasing and that is taken off because there's a bunch of the fact that it started off as such a ridiculous joke of Pokemon but with guns. And now people are actually playing it and realizing, oh, this actually has a lot of depth and
yeah. Imagine being the person at the company that suggested this game.
Right. Imagine being the person at the company that goes, hey, you know that Pokemon game, Pokemon Legends Arceus, where they did this thing but worse? Let's do that but better.
That's not gonna make anybody trust me, man.
Trust me, everybody's going to buy this game and they're going to love it. And we let them host their own servers and support mods. People are going to love it.
Okay, that'll make it because that game won't fail. It won't cost that much. Oh my God!
See, I'm just waiting for about 6 months from now when they modded in every single Pokemon into the game. And it's not even going to matter anymore.
I know.
I think what you really find, and this is what I've kind of discovered over the years, is that when you have a large game studio, sometimes the developers don't get to make choices as much as they need to.
Yep.
And when you get a game like this game or 7 Days to Die, where it's just a couple guys who are doing what they want, they're making the game they want to play.
Right.
And that makes a big difference because
Correct. The
people who are making the games are making a game they want to play. Other people are probably going to want to play it too. You get the suits in there. How are we going to make money? Where's the microtransactions? Where's the profit going to come from? That changes how the game is made, and it becomes less about making a game to play as opposed to how are we going to make money.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. The game can make money. The game make a profit, but the exorbitant profit comes from the microtransactions. But anyways, I love playing games that allows people to mod things. Modding is awesome, and I don't understand any studio that wants to block, modding. Right, Vincent?
Well, there is one. Your name is Capcom.
Oh, no.
So
this is called a segue.
Yeah. So last week we were going to talk about this, but there's a lot of things going on about Capcom and this DRM situation. Because Capcom has basically gotten to this whole thing where they said that modding is cheating, even if it's a single player game, in their opinion. If you mod anything, they consider it cheating, mostly because there's a scandal in which there was a Street Fighter 6 tournament where somebody left on a nude mod for Chun-Li, and it showed up on stream.
Oopsie.
On Twitch. So
how's this cheating? It's just...
But they're you. Yes, we know that was bad, but it allowed them to segue to their own argument of modding is cheating.
Yeah.
So they wanted to block all mods from most of their games entirely. And that happened to come hand in hand with an issue with DRM that they were including because the Resident Evil Revelations 2 came out and they did a patch that broke the game. Mm-hmm. And in that patch, they added Enigma DRM. And because the game broke, they blamed the patch and say that the patch is actually malware. That's why it broke the game. It's an issue, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And everybody was super all in on the fact that it was this malware and et cetera. Mm-hmm. When it turns out this DRM thing was just something that Capcom has been doing for years. Mm-hmm. But nobody's been paying attention to it because there's a lot of old games that nobody pays attention to.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that it comes out with their games come out with your favorite DRM, Harry, Denuvo. They come out immediately with Denuvo, and because they believe it prevents people from pirating their games, and it also helps them prevent people from modding games because you have to be a part of the DRM for things to work. And then after the Denuvo falls off, they add in Enigma to keep the DRM going. Yeah. And they've did it for several games. Like RE5 has it for PC, and a bunch of other games have that Enigma DRM. But it just so happens that that one particular game broke the game, thus raising the red flag for everybody to go, what is Capcom doing?
Right, what is Capcom doing? Yeah, start searching the files. And considering like it doesn't like really pop up because like the Steam doesn't tell you that. So it's like Steam is unaware. Yeah, usually if they know of a file or a game has either a third party EULA that you have to sign or another DRM, they're like, hey, it has our DRM and this Denuvo bullcrap or this thing's in here, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, everyone's up and sure because I'm up and sure too, because like, no, I'm not playing, like I will play ball with Steam's DRM because Steam has, they have decades of trust with it, which is hard won, easily lost though. Valve can easily lose that really quickly. I'm, you know, I will give Valve the benefit of the doubt, but it can lose it.
Yeah, look how fast LastPass lost its trust. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so man, quick.
Man.
But
they're willing to give deals too, by the way, for LastPass. I'm like,
I'm not touching that. But the reason that people were calling the Enigma malware is because one particular random site that people for whatever reason started holding as gospel is this malware site, basically. It pinged once on this one particular site, but a bunch of other malware sites don't see it as malware. It just sees that the Enigma DRM, it considers it malware. So they weren't actually putting in malware, they were putting in DRM, which
it's malware.
Kind of the same thing.
It's malware.
But it's kind of the same thing.
It's malware. It's the difference between pirate and privateer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're just malware that works for the crown.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. That's all it is.
I kind of miss the days when the copyright protection was basically a literal hole made on the floppy disk that you were loaded off of.
I don't know. I think Valve has. I don't know. Understand? Like the Valve have shown the world that, you know, it's, you don't have a piracy problem. You have like a you have a distribution model problem. If you just make it easy, people will buy your games at legitimately and play them. But if you set up these hoops, all these different things to do, they will just pirate your game and do and get a better quality game. Because if I pirated RE5, I don't have it. Honestly, once Borderlands 3 came out, I could have pirated that thing and not had Denuvo and got to play it on launch. I think it was broken on the first week, you know, because I could have just pirated and had fun with the game. But I didn't.
Here's the thing. I have games that I played that I found I'd play a lot more if they weren't on their own game client. Like if they were part of Steam.
Yeah.
That's like I used to play Hitman. I played Hitman 1. I'd played Hitman. I even played a little bit Hitman 2 before Hitman 3 came out. But Hitman 3, you had to go and play it on, you couldn't play it on Steam for a year.
Yeah. You have to play it on that trashier stuff.
And then you buy it on that engine, the EA engine, whatever, then you're not going to buy it again on Steam.
Fucking Origin.
Yeah.
And Fortnite, I'd play more Fortnite if I didn't have to go through their own Fortnite thing. And it's just kind of pain. But I can play Paladins straight from Steam. I can just pull up my Steam client and go, okay, what do I feel like playing today? Boom. That's what I'm going to play. And that's the first place I'm going to look at. So if you want your game played by the most people, here's your answer.
Great.
At least make it available on there. You can have your own game engine. You can put it on GOG if you want. You can do all the things you want to do to get people to play your game. But if you're ignoring Steam, you're putting your arm behind your back when you're trying to play.
Right. Think of the Epic Store. The Epic Store exists. Nobody talks about the Epic Store. They dump out free games like all the time because nobody uses it.
Well, think about how much. I was on the Humble Bundle monthly thing. I just did, you know, monthly Humble Bundle thing, and I've forgot I even had it. I just let it run for years. So I go back here and look and see what I've got. I've got all these games that I could go out and get, and it's just like, Most of them aren't on Steam. I'm like, well, I don't really want to go and find this engine or find this way to play and install this one with a different shortcut and everything else. It becomes a pain.
Steam. All right, all these games that aren't on Steam, they can stay there.
Yep. But no, yeah. So yeah, Capcom. I don't do this. Don't do this type of stuff. And it's single player experiences. You know, these are having fun. You make some great games. Just stop being a dick.
Right, but
a single player game, you can be in God mode all the time. Who cares? It's you're playing. I put my own challenges on things. I play Seven Days. I'll play a hard mode version. You know, they finally put. I think they're putting in a hard mode version where you can actually play it as hard mode. But what I would do is, if I died, okay, wipe the save, start anew. That's just a challenge for me. That's my choice. That's not me cheating if I don't do it or whatever. If I get stuck or I don't like what's happening and I want to cheat me something in to play with it,
who cares? It's my own game. We don't like them putting boobies on your characters, so it's all bad.
Yeah.
We don't want boobies to be available for people to do. But
actually, skirt back.
Yeah, but here's a $25 Spy Family thing skin that looks nothing like the fucking characters.
God, I'd be upset.
Or here's this $20 Ninja Turtle costumes for Street Fighter characters. Like, come on, man.
Come on.
Oh, here's all these new costumes, but you have to buy them each individually for every character in Street Fighter 6 if you want the skins.
I know. I really hope I really wish the fighting community will just say, you know what? These big corporations suck. Let's just make our own open source fighting game for the fighting community.
Mugen. It's called Mugen.
That game doesn't exist. The thing doesn't exist. You don't speak its name.
The closest thing you get is like the Arc System Works stuff is because they usually don't gouge a lot of things and they do a lot of good work and on the technical side of things for Arc System Works in the fighting game community, but that's neither here nor there.
Get a fighting community, so much better than the other sport community. You know who you are.
Also, the weirdest thing that comes out of all the fighting game crossover things is because in one of the Arc System Works games, 2B is in it. They added 2B into one of the games. Mm-hmm. Nice. And the creator of Nier Automata came out and said, all of 2B's appearances in any other crossover thing is canon for Nier Automata. Because he says it's all canon. If 2B's in it, it's canon.
All right, that's fine.
He's the original creator. He has control of what canon is, Harry. You know this.
Yeah, he can do what he wants. Do what he wants. That's fine. That's fine.
2B and Soul Calibur is canon.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I didn't play that game. I had to wrap that around my head. Man. Anyways. Yeah.
But at least, you know, a lot of these times, if you buy the games, you own them. Unlike what Ubisoft wants, Harry.
I'm just saying that you just got to be comfortable with owning your pals and be okay with not owning your game. Or the description of the thing was the idea of be happy with your owning the experience. The experience of playing the game.
What's that old saying? If you can't buy it, you can't pirate it.
Yeah, if you can't buy it, this whole thing of if you're not really purchasing it, it's like you just I might as well just pirate the thing. Yeah. Yeah. If I can't purchase it, then I can't pirate it. I have more I can show you how something actually left me went to you. Right, for me to own something versus me pirating, because you still have it. You still got everything. I also have it. I have a copy of that now. But
yeah, you want to stay what Ubisoft said, Harry?
Yeah. You want to? You got the full quote.
I don't have it, but I thought you had it.
Oh, I can pull it up. Give me a sec.
Yeah. They're super. Ubisoft is super comfortable with you going, well, you don't actually own that. You should be okay not owning your games. That's the same thing that happened with Microsoft. Microsoft basically said the same thing.
Well, Microsoft's trying to do the rental, the software as a rental type thing. And
yeah,
it works for some things, but it does not work for people aren't going to rent their OSs unless they're doing it under the guise of getting a license for it as you're renting time on a Azure system or something like that, right?
It sounds like an AOL card again.
But when you when you're buying servers, you want to buy the OS that's on it too. You don't want to rent it.
Correct. Yeah, I think the idea, like this whole rental model, is from it's a lot of these corporations just like wanting this extra money because yes, subscription models you do end up paying more. You pay less up front and you pay more over time. It's the same thing that AWS and a lot of the cloud services run off of. Right.
It's not just that though. It's not just that you can get more out of the person for doing it that way. It's that the software producers now have a steady income,
right?
A predictable income, as opposed to you put out a release, it gets a lot of sales and then it drops off. And now you're trying to scramble to get money for the next release and stuff like that.
Correct. But this for some things that makes out sense. For
operating feature.
But some things that makes it like mm-hmm. almost like an operating system subscription, as long as if it's small compared to the price of the OS, what the OS should cost, it does make sense because you're constantly getting updates from it and manipulating. You just keep going on this pack. Like if I just kept paying like what $10 a year or whatever, like I also get my Microsoft Office, like Office 365 rolled in with my Windows license, right? So I'm constantly getting updates all the time, and I've got access to all these products. Fine, but the idea that like no.
And you're always getting updates like the new Teams just kind of pushed down on everybody.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
Man.
Where's the remote control button? Oh, you don't get that anymore. It really helps when I'm trying to take over a guy's machine to help him. You know what I mean?
I know. It's happening at the worst time. I was trying to convert my my company from Zoom to Teams. When you try to showcase them, they're like, what happened? Break call. Anyways, update. Yeah, full quote. One of the things we saw is that gamers were used to a little bit like DVDs, having and owning their games. That's the consumer shift that needs to happen. They got comfortable not owning their CD collection or DVD collection. That's a transformation that's a bit slower to happen in games. As gamers grow comfortable in that aspect, you don't lose your progress if you resume your game at another time. Your progress file is still there. That's not been deleted. You don't lose what you've built in your game or your engagement with the games. So it's about feeling comfortable about not owning your games. Here's the thing. I'm not comfortable not owning CDs and DVDs. I still own CDs and DVDs.
Right.
I buy CDs and DVDs and Blu-rays.
Yeah, I've they're
canny and stocking.
The understand Blu-ray. Is that we're kicking and screaming into this world where we don't own the game, we don't own physical media. Yeah. We don't want that. We want something different. But they're just trying to say, well, it works for World of Warcraft, so you don't own World of Warcraft discs anymore. I still have my old ones from the original releases and stuff, but I got my Burning Crusade disc, and I've got my Lich King disc.
Now tell me, how many World of Warcraft sequels have there been?
Well, it depends on how you define sequel.
I mean, like where they shut down the server of World of Warcraft and do World of Warcraft 2.
Well, nobody would do that. Like Overwatch. I mean, there's only one.
Right, right. It's not like there's a bunch of games that come out seasonally or yearly that the old servers will get shut down.
Mm-hmm. are you talking about Madden?
Oh no!
EA not Sports.
Just Madden. Not just 2K Madden. Does it too. 2K
yeah,
does.
2K it too. Does this too. Yeah, you want to play some Rainbow Six? It. Oh man, these Rainbow Six.
Oh no! You wanted to play WWE 2K22? Oh, that's shut down a year later.
I still have Madden 2007 over here,
but I want to play solo on my machine.
Mm. And Tiger Woods 2006 too.
No.
Then they changed everything.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like I'm not comfortable not owning my games, right? Like so the idea, you might get some people on the idea, like a Netflix style, like kind of like a Game Pass where I pay a monthly subscription and I'm access to a massive game library. So I'm not really owning anything. I'm just access to like a library system. That might work be for some people, but some people like owning and purchasing physical disc or or just having like, no, this is my game. I can pick it up and start like that. Like I've been picking up replaying the old Ghostbusters game, right? Came out on what is it, PS3? I don't know. Old broken game. I'm having fun playing it, but because I own it, I got it from, you know what?
I've got a DOS emulator where I play old DOS games. I mean, I still like playing those old games, and you can't just go buy them anymore. So,
right, like there are so many classic games that if you didn't buy them when they came out, you're never going to be able to buy a physical copy of them.
Correct.
Earthbound is like $2,000.
Yeah.
For like an unboxed cart of a Super Nintendo game. It's like some games you're just not going to get to get anymore as a physical medium. So you should just hold on to it as a physical medium when you have it.
And I'm also not necessarily against not getting a physical disc as long as I can always go and download a copy.
Correct.
From them. Like they're not going to go, okay, it's been 10 years. We're not letting you download that copy anymore. They can say, we're not giving you any updates. It's not getting supported, but I can still download a copy and install it. If I have a hard drive crash, and I want to redo that. Right. So I should be able to do that. If you're not giving me physical media, you have to commit to that.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Like even Adobe went well beyond with CS2, their things like allowing people to re-download Adobe products for like a decade on before they finally cut it off. And it's fucking Adobe. The other thing with it, it's you're right, because even when games get pulled off of the Steam store, you can still download them. You could completely like, and that's like I said, that's the goodwill from Steam, because I know like the moment that happens, like yeah, we pull our stuff from it. It's like, you know, I bought this thing. If I can't get it, like, you know, or I don't get money or I don't get something for it, or like, you know, like, I don't know if I'm going to trust this service ever again. I'm going to go straight to GOG and go buzz off, you know?
Except for what H1Z1 did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you hear about, you know about that? So H1Z1 had a game. It was a, it's kind of like a 7 Days to Die type of game, right? Mm-hmm. And then they incorporated PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds type of it was the first iteration of that, right? So PlayerUnknown had did Arma 3 Battle Royale, then they brought him in to do the H1Z1 mm-hmm. Battle Royale. Well, that ended up taking over the game, mm-hmm. and people wanted to play that more than they wanted to play the original game, mm-hmm. but they were still developing the game. We're promising we're still developing the game, blah, 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 blah. And then a couple years after all of that, they said, we're abandoning the original H1Z1 game. And we're converting everything over to H1Z1 Battle Royale only. We're renaming it. And you can't play that anymore because the servers didn't exist anymore. They took the client and renamed it instead of deleting it. Mm-hmm. So it's still the game you bought, but it's not the game you bought. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like Skullgirls right now. Like I really
wish. Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, I really wish like Steam eventually nix a feature so I could like nix updates. Like, no, I don't want that update. I want this version of the game. Comes with bugs, don't care. I want this version.
Yeah, that whole Skullgirls thing is ridiculous. Or, you know, of course, The Day Before, which is a game that came out last year mm-hmm. that was on sale for like a day, and then the developer pulled it and ended their servers because everybody said the game was a scam, because it was. and it came out like the very end of last year, like in like December almost. Mm-hmm. And it was this whole massive thing of like, at one point it was the most wishlisted game on Steam. Everybody really wanted to play, but it turns out to be, it was like the game experience was completely different than what they advertised it to be. And the servers were terrible. And then the developer pulled the game and then pulled the servers. I think the game was pulled in 48 hours. I think the number was.
The Day Before.
Well, that's why I appreciate what Dirty Bomb did. Dirty Bomb was such a huge kind of disappointment. Because it had so much potential, and it never got realized. There was a lot of mistakes that were made, but it was still a great game. And when they decided that they couldn't make it work, it wasn't going where they wanted it to, it wasn't getting the attention that they wanted, they decided they're going to end production of it. Mm-hmm. But they, when they did that, they ramped up and said, okay, we're going to let you have community servers that you can rent for a period of time, and then you can do them on your own after that. Mm-hmm. So people got a hold of these community server files, and you can still play those games. You can still log in. You can still see them on the list to play. So people have been playing it, and it's been shut down for 4 or 5 years now. People are still playing it. I saw there's in my friends list, there's like 5 guys that are playing it within the last 3 days.
They released the day before, closed the day
after. Yeah, dude. It was a whole thing. There's been so many videos about it. But yeah, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the other thing about having. That's the issue a lot of the not own your games thing at this point. Or these, like, a lot of things are server based. Mm-hmm. So once they shut the servers down, you can't play the game anymore.
Yeah, the game's down. Yeah.
The game's done.
Yeah. That's why, like especially the game we play a bunch of, it's Paladins, right? From High Res. It's like a lot of people's like requesting features, and the feature I always send in the request is like, I want to host my own game. But that's the feature I need you all to work on, because I am a host. I want to host. What? I want ability to host this without you guys. You want to do that? Because I don't know how much gas you have left in the tank. You know? Because if you let me know, like, you got 5 years, cool, here's some money. You know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know how long you've got. And I'd rather, or, you know, if you need a certain amount of money to develop that, I'll give you that, because I just want to be able to play this game in the future.
Right.
I think
that was the sad part about WildStar for me, was that I actually enjoyed the game because of the quirkiness and the fun that it provided. It wasn't necessarily the best MMO ever made or anything, but there were some elements to it that you can't get anywhere else. So it was fun to kind of log in every once in a while and just play that game. And now it just disappeared. All the data just went away. So all the stuff that I had and paid money for is all gone. But the great thing about that is there is a movement to get those files and put it back together. You can literally right now go to a server and play a sort of version of WildStar. A lot of stuff doesn't work yet. Some of the raiding doesn't work. Some of the PvP doesn't work, but you can actually get in and play again, at least like the first zones and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's cool that happened, but you shouldn't have to have people doing Herculean efforts.
Because you have to make the game exist again for you to even play it.
Right. And the game developers need to realize it's okay to release the game out there and say, we're not supporting it, we're not updating it, we're not doing anything with it anymore, we're not touching it, but if you still want to play it, you can.
Yeah, 100%. The, one of the cool MOBAs I used to play all the time was Demigod, because you could host your own servers. You could play, everyone can get on and get on and host your own servers, and have a lot of fun. Old 2011 game. It's got a limited number of roster, but you could go up and spin it. I could spin it up right now and allow people to play this game, you know? Yeah. But so many different things are becoming these live servers. Like, things got to be online. The consoles are becoming that way, that they all have to be online. Windows is doing that way. Like, Windows mostly have to be online most of the time. So like, hey, I used to be like, yeah, you probably have to have a separate machine that's running Windows just to play games, which now, thanks to also Valve, like I said, Valve and Steam, is they got that goodwill with trying to push to get to a lot of more games to run on Linux. The Steam Deck has been great running the Proton little like overlayers to allow these games to run on something other than Windows. It's great. And I think it's a future that people have to understand that you have to support and put money into, or not, because like, you know, maybe if you don't want to do that, but the simple fact that these corporations are greedy bastards, they don't care about you. The people who have fun playing games and making games aren't in control of the gaming space anymore.
Right.
They're not in control. You know, it's people who probably don't play or don't touch these games and only see percentages on the screen. You know, it's the same thing, like, or like, because, you know, they want to go IPO. We want to go IPO and trade our stocks. We want to do all these things. So it's going to make all this extra money, you know, but it's, or they just want to be able to sell shares or do some buy options, you know, like, and that's what they're focused on, not making the next game.
Right. Like, even in the gaming space, the biggest, most blatant choice of that was with FaZe Clan, mm-hmm. with them going public, mm-hmm. and then their stock being less than a penny and having to go private again, mm-hmm. because they decided that, because somebody behind the desk said, going, you know, these guys just play video games and make content and do that kind of stuff. We're going to go public to make a bunch of money off of it, trying to get money from people who don't spend money. Mm-hmm. Esports fans don't spend money on anything.
Yeah. Well, because everything's around them is either a scam. Exactly. They're either scams or they don't last long. So why would I spend money on anything?
Exactly.
You know, that's the
problem. Like gamble for skins?
You know, like I like, if I was really into esports, the only esports I probably would get into is honestly like a Valve game, like Counter Strike, Dota.
Yeah, just,
like a stay in power.
Dota, I've written this up because it's amazing you brought up Dota. So they did this Christmas update, mm-hmm. and during the Christmas update, they were going through and banning people who have like a bad like community score, right? Mm-hmm. And how they did it was that they were sending everybody gifts, mm-hmm. for Christmas.
Yeah.
So if you opened it, you would have Cole that banned you indefinitely. And you had to open the package. You had no choice.
No.
So if you were good, you actually got a cool skin. If you were bad, banned. Merry Christmas.
Explains why Nice got on Paladins. Oh, sorry.
That is the most top tier way of doing it. Because this one professional player got banned on stream. And he didn't realize that the year in it was like 3,000 and something. So he was basically permaban, and he didn't realize it until afterwards. But it is top tier petty from Valve. Oh, it's
that's good.
Masterclass.
I'm reading a comment here on Demigods. I'm going to have to bring it up. They're telling people to, because apparently something they added to the game that is a unskippable process in it where you have to register your account outside of Steam with them, and they're saying don't do that, just pirate it instead. I'm not gonna tell people to pirate, but if you do play Demigod, pirate it. But
the developer told me to. Yeah. I just did what they told me to do.
Yeah.
So yeah,
yeah.
If you can buy your game, buy your games. Trust in Valve, because Valve has built up the trust. Yep. And play Power World.
Hard won. Easily lost though. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Valve, I think Valve knows that it's easily lost. I think they know like they mess up one too bad that, you know, it's going to be a flood of people going, you know, going to GOG and just like, you know what, screw it.
Back right, to the high seas. There are other options.
Yeah, back to the high seas. You know,
pirates will come back.
Yeah, the pirates will return. Yeah, the great pirate age will just come back again. You know, which like yeah, Valve made people to stop pirating games. Because I think before Valve, I remember LAN parties. The first thing we do at LAN parties, like who's got what game, and then we would just crack them and pirate them out. You know, put them on a server. I'm like, oh, you need the Quake installer? It's right here. This installs quick. You know, we've got one key. It's okay. The server just connects to the server.
Server's running. I don't know what you're talking about.
Server's got your key. You're good. We got this. Or you'll have something that's just like, you know, just run this thing. But yeah. And now it's not like that. You know, like you go to, you know, I remember one time you go to a LAN party and I was like, well, just buy the game. Buy it. Yeah. Buy it. It's right there. $10 or $20, $30.
See,
$30.
It's right there.
It's right there. Just buy it. Hit the download button. You know, instead of like, oh, hold on, let me take it from my file.
We'll go get food. Come back when it's back. It'll be done. Download. We can play. Move on. Exactly. Moving on.
We just went to Taco Bell. That's the way it was.
IHOP.
IHOP.
Depends what time, I guess. Yeah,
we go to IHOP.
White Castle.
Get my eggs extra greasy.
Get some eggnog pancakes. They taste just like eggnog.
I'm just shocked that these eggnog pancakes taste just like eggnog. I'm just shocked. Terrible. Oh, okay. Okay. No, those are inside jokes. Anyways, let's end this episode before it gets too long. The truth. Capcom, bad. Palworld, great.
Ubisoft, also bad.
Always been bad. Always bad. Always bad. Just been bad. If you play Origin, just bad. Anyways, thanks for tuning into the episode of Low Key on the Real Returns Network. You could have been listening to anything else in the world, but you decided to listen to this, and that I thank you to the 300 of you guys who download this podcast every week. That's amazing. I love every one of you. I wish you guys would come and hang out with us live, because this podcast is recorded live 9 p.m. Eastern time on Mondays. Please come hang out with us live. It's a lot of fun. We'll try to get Dear Leader to hook us back up so we can get back on streaming on Facebook. And yes, do the people stop messaging me? Yes, we plan. I will stream this on Rumble. I just haven't set it up yet. We will go to Rumble. I don't want to be on Rumble, but they'll shut you up, so I'll go to Rumble. But just put out there right now, you can find us on youtube.com/WeAreLibertarians and also on twitch.tv. We are, as with the letter R, Libertarians. You can find us there still. And of course, you can also find us on the website, going to WeAreLibertarians.com, or just type in Anonymous Liberty. We'll come up too that way too. So, yeah. So, I guess say goodbye, everyone.
Have fun, guys.
Bye, everyone.